I was reading recently and came across this quote, and I thought you would consider it extremely accurate and appropriate. It's a little bit surprising, but quite clear. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserves us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and have imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Does that sound like us? That was Abraham Lincoln. But you know, people haven't changed, have they? We go along and we think again that, yep, we've got it. We earned it. We deserved it. We're there of our own accord. But when we read the Word of God, we discover that we are blessed. If you're going to live life as that new person, the person that God has made you to be, it is important for you to understand your identity as a blessed person. Because we live in a discontented culture. Is that true? You know, it is cultivated on a continual basis by the media, by the corporate world, and even sometimes by our conversations with other people. And I want this, and I need to have that. And life would be good if that was mine, and if this was true, and if we've got it better than we ever deserve. We are blessed. We are blessed. And when I begin to live like I am a blessed person, then I treat other people differently as well. And I think that's a significant thought. You know, you received again today another piece of the puzzle. We're talking about this idea that you are a part of a whole. That there is a place for you. But to understand afresh that you're not the only piece. And you may find, if you compare this piece with the piece you were given last week, that it doesn't connect. And sometimes when we live around other people, we find they're difficult to connect with. Is that true? You've known somebody that was difficult to connect with, even though they were a Christian. Even though they were a relative. Even though you chose them several years ago as your beloved. Sometimes a person can be difficult, but they too are a part of God's plan. They're a piece of the puzzle. They're a part of the picture. And when I live as a blessed person, I will affect not only my peace, but the other pieces God brings me in contact with. That may not even be connected to them. We may not be dovetailed in the exact same type of ministry or the exact same type of values. But if they're a part of the whole, if they are a part, as we said last week, of the big picture, then God blessed me to be in right relationship with them. He blessed me to be a person who is a blessing. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to go there first this morning, because he expresses this idea of being blessed people so well in this passage. Ephesians 1, and we'll begin with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's just a detour here for a second. But do you see how blessed He is? That's what draws us together to worship Him every Sunday. That should be drawing you to worship Him every morning as you awake, regardless of whether you're a morning person or not. There is a blessed Father who's given us a Savior. And that's awesome. Awesome, awesome Creator. I can remember thinking when I was snorkeling over in Hawaii recently, it's just like, How creative is our God? Why would he put stripes on one fish that way and another fish this way? Why did he put polka dots across the top? Why did he give that guy a flat head and this guy a needle point? God is a blessed creator. He's just amazing. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Has God freely bestowed grace on you? Oh man. Oh man. There's truly only one thing that I deserved in this life, and that was judgment. I had rebelled against the King of Kings, and I deserved judgment. I knew his law, I understood his law, and I rejected his law. I deserved death, the Bible says. And yet he, in grace, gave me a Savior, gave me life, gave me blessings. And it says here in verse 3, that he says, he blessed us, did you see that? With a lot of blessings in Jesus Christ. Does anybody have that in your translation? A lot of blessings? No, that's not what it says, is it? He said, he blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Friends, I want to tell you something. You have not yet discovered how blessed you are. You know you are blessed, but you don't know how blessed you are. I don't know how blessed I am. And every time I get into this book, I see some more and I go, that's amazing that he would do that for me. It's, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have no need that he has not made provision for. You may not have appropriated your provision. You may not be believing your provision. I'm there sometimes. I've read it. I've even memorized it. But that doesn't mean I'm trusting it. Okay? But when I come to the Word and the Spirit graces me and I say, that's the truth. When I embrace that idea that I am blessed with every spiritual blessing, it changes my perspective about relationships. It changes my perspective about Him. It changes my perspective about my circumstances. So I want us to see this because he says he did this in Christ. See, God blesses the believer with everything in Christ. And in Christ, we find every blessing that you're intended to get. It's all in Jesus. And so if you ever are wondering about this, you know, it's all in Jesus. And I share this with the small group leaders as they're shepherding. I says, people go, well, what if they ask me this question? Or what if they ask me that question? I don't know how I'm going to direct them. I says, just point them back to Jesus. You see, friends, if we point people back to Jesus, we'll point them back to everything that they need. Isn't that true? So that is, you may not know what the specific answer is to their specific problem, but there is one solution. It's back. If you draw near to Jesus, he's going to meet your need. Has he done that for you? He has done that for me again and again and again. Now, there's times when I wrestle with it. I try to figure it all out on my own, and then eventually I get tired, and I come back in and say, okay. And so, how blessed are you, friends? You are blessed abundantly by God. That's your first principle. Some of you guys are just dying to get that written down into your notes. Go ahead, put it down there. You're blessed abundantly by God. You see, you were created, and you have a creator that cares for you. That's an abundant blessing. You see, you have a Savior. That's cool. But you also have salvation. There's an individual relationship, and yet there's an incredible blessing that He provides to us. You have life here, a spiritual life given to you here. That's, you're different than you used to be. Is that true? You're different than you used to be. And yet there's life, what? Forever. This is good. That's going to be great. So you're blessed. He gives you the Spirit. He gives you gifts. He gives you the empowerment that you need. He gives you a living Word. And praise God, we also have a translated written Word. In fact, many of you have many translations of the written Word. Isn't that right? Remember, it's not about how many books you have, but how much the book has you. Right? Some of you didn't hear me. It's not how many books you have, it's how much the book has you. That's what it's about. All right? So you're blessed abundantly by God. And there's a tendency when we think about blessing to think about, I've got a car. You know, right now, I've got a job. That's good, right? You know, hey, I've got friends. And friends, those are blessings. But oftentimes, I think we look at the blessings that are what I call circumstantial, and we let our circumstantial blessings blind us to the eternal and forever blessings that give me a reason to always praise God. That there will never be a day that I wake up that I don't have a reason to say hallelujah. But that doesn't mean that every morning when I wake up, I say hallelujah. I've learned that I'm supposed to be quiet in the morning around my house. I don't understand that, but there's other people in my house that don't wake up at the same time I do. But you're supposed to be a blessing, right? Okay, so, but how blessed are you? I mean, to look at yourself, do that right now, to look at yourself, hold your hands out there, okay? I'm blessed. Will you tell yourself that? I'm blessed. I think we are told that you're not a blessing. You're told that you don't have enough. You're told that, and friends, I know we've all got more we want to see happen. But right now, where you are, you're blessed. So be thankful. That's an automatic response. When I move into the idea of seeing I am a blessed person, that's my identity, blessed, then thankfulness makes more sense. This idea that I'm to give thanks in all situations, in everything, well, of course, because I'm blessed. It's not ludicrous that God would say to you, in everything give thanks. Because in every circumstance and every situation that you and I are in, even those painful ones, even those excruciatingly long ones, even those situations where wrong things are happening to you, you are still what? Blessed. Hey, you're getting it. I like that. You're blessed. And from there, you live differently. But when you focus on what you don't yet have, you can become a disgruntled person. Isn't that right? You just... You start to grumble. You start to murmur. You start to mutter. You ought to go back and do some reading in Numbers to see what happens to mutterers in God's kingdom. Not a pretty picture back there. I'll just leave you to go do your own research on that. But that's not God's plan for you. But in Psalms 67, 6 and 7, it says this. Would you read this with me? The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. God blesses us so we get everything we want. God blesses us so we can sit back and be happy. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. You see, I am blessed with a purpose. There is a plan of God to pour out this abundant blessing, but to accomplish something in me. But notice this, it's not just in me. It's what? That the ends of the earth will know. Question for you. Comes right out of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? Have you ever thought about that question? That's a good question. It's in the Word of God. What do you have that you did not receive? You are a blessed person. But the question is, now, this is the $10 million question. Why? Why did He give me what He gave me? Why did He put me where He put me? Why did He put me in the relationships He put me in? Why did He give me the skills that He gave me? Why didn't He give me those skills? We always start asking those questions. Why has God blessed you so abundantly? Look with me over at 1 Peter. All the way towards the back. If you see Revelation, pull back a little bit. All right? 1 Peter chapter 3. Little exhortation about relationships. Passage happens to be talking to husbands and wives. And so, if you need this, go ahead, wear it. All right? But there's something here about blessing. And I need it, so I'm going to wear it. All right? That's where it's at. To sum up, verse 8. To sum up, let all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil, or insult for insult. But that is pretty easy to do, isn't it? You do that to me, I'll do that to you. Huh, you said that, I'll say this. Boy, there's times I just need to bite my tongue, isn't that right? I learned very early to be good at insults. Great skill to have, right? You could say good morning to me and I could cut you down. That was just the way I operated in high school. I got to have a razor tongue. It was terrible. But he says, don't return insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Now look at that for a second. He says, be this, be this, be this, be this. Don't be this, but what? Give a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Now, we love that part. Yeah. Inherit blessing. Yes. Right? I want to be more blessed. How many of you here say, I would like to be more blessed? Some of you got all the blessing you can handle. That is cool. I'm a contented congregation. But some of you here say, you know, I would like more blessing. Is that true? A couple more. All right. Some of you guys just are way too satisfied or you're sleeping. But he says here, notice how you get there. He says, giving a blessing instead, for you are called for the purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And you say, huh? He says, when you give a blessing, hear me, when you give a blessing, whether that's a word, whether that's a deed, whether that's a gift. That's three primary areas where we can bless. Words, deeds, gifts. You will give a blessing that you might inherit the blessing. The blessing comes to you as you bless. See, the problem we got in America is bless me, God bless me, God bless me. He says, I would if you'd start doing what I told you to do. Because you get blessed by blessing. You get blessed by giving. That's the way the eternal spiritual principle works. And we have a society that says, get. And the more they get, what? The more disgruntled they are. Because getting doesn't give you blessings. It doesn't. You were blessed to be a blessing. That's why you're blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. Now, friends, you are blessed because God loves you. Yes, you are blessed because He has an eternal plan for you. And that plan is that you experiencing the love and affection and care and compassion that He has for unworthy people like me would then overflow in words and deeds and gifts to others. That's why He's pouring it out on you. That you would see that. He said, you're blessed to be a blessing. Friends, think about this. God blesses you so you could bless others. But what's the legacy of your life going to be like? Now, someday, your life will be done. Someday. What will they say about you? I was reading in this good book, the Bible, the greatest book that's ever been, and I came across a guy that was named Jehoram. You know him? Jehoram. Who was that? Here's a good Bible trivia question this morning. Who was Jehoram? Okay? I would not have passed the quiz, all right, if I had gave it to myself before I was doing my reading. But Jehoram was a king in Jerusalem. I want you to notice his legacy. Look at this. You don't have to read it. I'm going to read it to you. He was 32 years old when he became king. Young man. A lot of potential, right? 32 years old. He reigned in Jerusalem for 8 years. And he departed with no one's regret. Ouch. That's his legacy. No one's regret. And you think about that and say, wait a minute, there was a mom. There was a brother. No, he killed all of them. No brothers. He killed other leaders. But you know, when you look through the scriptures, have you noticed all these stories about people? When you read through Hebrews 11, do you see all these stories? They're legacies. They're saying, this was what this person did with their life. And the scariest thing in the world, I think, is to think about that you could live your life and depart with no one's regret. This isn't about having somebody big build you a big mausoleum. All right, it's not about how fancy the inscription is that they put on the tombstone. It's the idea of what have you accomplished in relationship with the other pieces of the puzzle. Remember, you have a place. Find it and fill it. And what it's saying was, he so filled his place so disgustingly that when he finally left his place, everybody was happy. I'm just retranslating that a little bit. If you depart with no one's regret, then they're happy you're gone. That's a sad commentary. Friends, if this church left this community, would this community regret it? Are we living in such a way that they'd say, man, we miss Jerome Prairie Bible Church. We miss the influence and the care and the compassion of those people. Are they knowing that God is loving them through this family? That's what you were intended to be. You were blessed to be a blessing because God wants to bless others through you. He has that plan. So if that's God's plan, then you and I need to be intentional. You know, because He's blessed you, you're to be thankful. Because He has a plan for what you're to do with that blessing, then you need to be intentional to find your place and fill your place. There's a lot of people know what they ought to do. But I have found there's a difference between what I know and what I do. Can anybody else relate to that? Just because I know what I ought to be doing doesn't mean it's getting done. I know, honey, I know. A lot of lists at home. Tomorrow's the day off. Yeah, okay. We'll get on that honey-do this list. Isn't that right? You know, there's stuff that you ought to be getting done. You're not getting done. And in the kingdom of God, there's things. You say, God gave me this. I could be intentional. God wants to bless others through you. So how can you be more blessed? Remember, I was kind of offering that as an incentive. You could be more blessed. Jesus gave a principle how to be more blessed. It's very interesting. In the book of Acts, it shows up as a quote from Jesus Christ. And you won't find it in the Gospels. So it's kind of one of those neat things. You know, John says in one of his Gospels that everything that Jesus said wasn't written down. And so here's a quote that comes in Acts 20:35. I'd like you to read this. Paul is talking here, and he says this, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He Himself said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. Read that quote again. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Say it with me again. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Does America believe that? Then show them. Show them. It's easy to say it. Well, we've got to live it. We've got to show them that blessed people bless people. That's what we were here to do. And when they begin seeing Christians being people who bless, as opposed to people who condemn, as opposed to people who try to control, as opposed to people who try to push their own political agenda on them, when they see us as people who are serving Him by blessing others, it will change the reputation of Christians in this community. I think that's what God's called us to be. That we would change, so live this life, that we would change the reputation. And Christians have a reputation of what? Of being uncaring hypocrites. And it is my desire that Jerome Prairie would so grow to follow Christ that we would be known as compassionate servants. That's what I desire. But for the glory of Christ. And we don't go out and do that so that will change. We go out and do that because that's what's true. Is that if you're in Christ, you are called to be a compassionate servant. So I want us to be there. So he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now what's he saying? We have a tendency to say, well, you get more out of giving than you do receiving. And I think that is certainly true. But I actually think he's saying is that it is in the giving. I'm back here to the same thought again. It is in the giving that the blessing comes. That's really where you find it. How many of you have found when you're teaching a class, you get blessed? Isn't that the case? You get more than the other person. When you take food to somebody, all right, who gets the greater blessing? You're excited about bringing lunch to them, but you go away. When you visit somebody in the hospital, you're going up there to encourage them. How many times have you left totally blessed by the other person? You know, it's not always that every time you'll feel it, okay? But that doesn't mean God's still not working on your heart, shaping you and blessing you. Friends, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I would be remiss if, as your shepherd, I didn't say, that means finances too. You really don't hear me talk about that much because so many people are distracted by that. But if you as a steward do not learn to give out of what God has blessed you with financially, you're missing the blessing. You will not experience the blessing in your finances. You will not experience the joy in what is going on. And I am thankful that this church is supported by faithful givers. We have an average every month of about 73 to 75 people, families, who are making the ministry happen, both here throughout the Grants Pass area and then out into our mission works and around the world. 75 families are making that happen. I'm excited about that. But can I be honest? Of course I can. I'm supposed to be, right? There's 145 families that call Jerome Prairie home. I'm not talking about how much they give, but there's 75 giving. And there's another 75 that are not experiencing the blessing that God intends them to experience. And can I just, I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend how we can say, no, I don't need to do that. That doesn't pertain to me. Or I don't have enough. What if we had 2 cents? Gave it away. You can give. God's given it to you. It's a call. It's a choice. And so whether it's of your spiritual gift that you're giving, whether it's of your time that you're giving, whether it is of your finances that you're giving, you have something to give because God gave you something. Is that right? I had somebody say this to me one time. I thought it was kind of, it was a little direct. But you know, I've been blessed by people being direct in my life, haven't you? He says, well, you should give God what a portion of what he's given you, lest he give you the portion you're given to him. Can you live on what you're giving God? You know, that kind of struck me just a little bit different. But so if God has given to you and you were blessed to be a blessing, then one last thought I have for you here. If you were blessed to be a blessing, then you are a blessing. Right? You're blessed to be a blessing. You are a blessing. Be all the blessing that you can be. Be all the blessing that God enables you to be. That's the word you're looking for there. God enables you to be. Right? We saw that last week. We were talking about our giftedness. As each one has received a special gift, he said in 1 Peter 4, employ it in serving others. If he who speaks should speak as it were the utterances of God, he who serves should do so by the strength which God supplies. He says, you do what you do by the word of God and the power of the Spirit of God. He says, do it all and be all that you can be. Isn't that what, that was the army slogan, wasn't it? Be all you can be in the army. That's what I've got to say to you. It's just a different army, friends. In God's army, be all that you can be. You see, you can be, you already be, isn't that right? You be in the family if your faith is in Christ. You be there, but are you being all that you can be? Now, I'm not talking about, hear me, I'm not talking about saying, oh, okay, I'm supposed to teach Sunday school, I'm supposed to do this. I'm not seeing how busy you can be. That's been a Christian mistake for a long time, you know. See how busy you can be. I loved it. A Baptist guy helped me with this one. He says, Mary was a little lamb. She would have been a sheep. She joined the local Baptist church and died for lack of sleep. I was told it by a Baptist, so I can share it. But that could be true of any church, right? You can say, I got to do everything. That is not the plan. You've got a particular shape. Just fill your shape. Just be what you can be. All right? Use what I give you, God says. Use what I give you for my glory. You know, in that verse we looked at last week in Ephesians 4, he says that the body grows by the proper working of what? Each individual's part. By that which every joint supplies. And I want every joint working. Alright? So he says, you be the joint that you are and let the body move. In fact, if you're not moving with God, do you understand that? That you're restricting the movement of the Spirit of God in this place. You're restricting the movement of the Spirit of God in this community. He says, I said move, and you say, uh-uh. And you're holding back what God wants to accomplish. So, I can be a blessing. It's an important thing to understand. You can be. He's created you. He's blessed you to be a blessing. Salt is good when it comes out of the salt shaker. It's handy. It's real handy. You've got it sitting there on the table. But when does it bless? When it introduces its flavoring to the food. When you apply it. So when you come out of the jar, friends, when you become what He's blessed you to be, when you recognize that you were shaped, you're designed, you're like a measuring cup. Well, it's designed for service, isn't it? That's why there's a lip on it. You know, most cups, you think of the regular cup, it's designed what? For self-service. Isn't that right? Now you can give the whole cup away. That's what our lives are to be like. But the idea here is that this cup is designed to be poured out. That's you and I. We're designed and blessed in such a way that you pour out what you can do. That's what I'm inviting you to do. Say, hey, that's I can do that. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And I want to tell you, some of you are so encouraging to me because I see people say, I can do that. I'll do that. You know? It doesn't mean it's your favorite thing to do. Toilets still have to be washed in every house. Isn't that right? I haven't met too many people say, you know, that's really my gift. So we've got to get done. Friends, there are things you do because it's how you're wired, and there's also things you do because it's got to get done. All right? And so I want to encourage you to be what you can be. So how can you be all the blessing that God intends? Well, look at this. Luke 6:38. All right, I want you to read this again. Here's another quote from Jesus Christ. In fact, you'd be amazed. Go ahead and read through his stories. He's got four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Four different biographies, same story. How many times he says this kind of principle? Read it with me. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Hello? Did you hear that last part? By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Do you see how many times in the Scriptures God says, I am blessing you if you begin pouring out, I'll pour out in proportion to how you pour out. So again, it's how blessed do you want to be? I get blessed by learning to pour out. To learning to be generous. You've heard it said, I've had it told to me as I was growing up, you can never outgive God. That's certainly true. He said in Malachi, hey, you're robbing me. He told the children of Israel at the end of Malachi, Malachi 3. He says, you're robbing me. You're keeping what is mine from me. He says, bring the whole tithe, one-tenth, into the storehouse and see if I won't pour out a blessing until there's no need. I think it's interesting. We think of that and as good old-fashioned Americans, we go, oh, great, there'll be no more need in me. You ever thought that he could be saying, I'll pour out a blessing until there's no more need in my family? That this isn't just about you. It's about when you begin to do what God's called you to do, that the blessing may not be that he makes you richer, but he makes us richer. That he provides what all the family needs. That's the meeting of the need is by doing what we can do. You see, when you do what you can do with what you have, when you do what you can do with what you have, you're a blessing. You're a blessing. Find your place. Feel your place. It doesn't matter who you are. There's a young lad listening to Jesus. Jesus had been going on for a while. Got to the end of the day, he was still teaching. He hadn't even stopped to eat his lunch. And then this guy named Andrew came up and said, what you got in that basket? What you talking about? It's my lunch. Yeah? What you got in your lunch? 5 loaves, 2 fish. Little loaves. Right? Isn't that what we'd be saying? Hey. He says, Jesus needs that. Whose lunch was it? Little boy's. Mama probably packed it for him that morning. What'd he do? He gave it to Jesus. Did he get his lunch? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And 5,000 other people got dinner because he gave up his lunch. Don't doubt what God can do with what you have. Can you imagine the logic that each one of us could have exercised in that little spot? Why? This ain't enough to feed the big guy. This ain't enough to feed you 12. This certainly ain't enough to feed... Why? Because when you give what you have to God, God does what God can do with what you give. Try it out. You have no idea. It always amazes me what he can do if I'll just give it to him. A lady named Mary came in just shortly before Jesus was arrested. The disciples were meeting there. And she was so thrilled with what Jesus Christ had done for her. So thrilled. She took a pound, a Roman pound, probably 12 ounces of pure nard, extremely fragrant perfume, and poured it on Jesus. And instantly, if you understand what that kind of perfume did, it just permeated the whole house. 12 men, you know what they think of perfume, right? Why did she waste this stuff? It could have been used to buy food for hundreds of people. That's a full year's wages. Can you think about that? They were saying $30,000 minimum wage. She poured it out on Jesus Christ. You know what? When you do what you can do, I want to warn you, not even all of the believers around you will think what you did was the right thing. That's sometimes really discouraging in the body of Christ. But if you do it for Jesus, Jesus will stand up for you. What did he say? Leave her alone. She did it for me. Who were they thinking about? Themselves, particularly Judas. I could have got a take out of that. We are such selfish people. But he said, sometimes you've blown it with your life. You know what I'm talking about. You had the potential. You had a possibility. You didn't do it. It's a man named Joseph of Arimathea. He's a part of the council. The very council that condemned Jesus Christ. He didn't agree with what they did, but when Jesus Christ was crucified, he went and stood before the governor, Pilate. I'd like to claim the criminal's body. You know what he did that day? Do you have any idea what that was going to cost him? To stand up before the Romans, to stand up before his whole Sanhedrin council and say, I will honor the one you dishonored. Now, he says, I will take him and I will bury him in my own tomb that he carved himself. And people have been looking into that empty tomb ever since. Pretty nice of him to give us a cavern to look into and be reminded. When you do what you can with what you have, you are a blessing. Do not doubt what God can do. Do not doubt it. He will take it some way and explode it across his kingdom for his glory. Every one of those little acts, what? They're repeated in every gospel in the New Testament. Isn't that cool? He says, I want everybody to know what that person did. Someday, you're going to be rewarded for everything you've ever done for Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, you will not be unblessed. You already are. But there's more to come. Isn't that incredibly motivating? There's more to come. So give yourself away for the King, because he gave himself away for you. And if you've never gave yourself to the King, can I just remind you of this? That he came to bless you. He didn't come to curse you. It says in the book of Acts when they were preaching, he explained it this way. In chapter 3:26, he said, for you first, this is Peter's second sermon, he says, God raised up his servant Jesus and sent him to bless you. He sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. The greatest blessing that Jesus Christ intends to do for you is to turn you from your wicked way back to Christ. If you've never turned, then that's the first step towards blessing. What does it say in Psalms 32:1? Great word, great word. Read it with me. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen? Hey, you're blessed that way if you're trusting Christ. If you're not, I would invite you this very morning to put your trust in him. Friends, you receive the Savior by faith, believing that he'll forgive, believing that he'll bless. You are blessed to be a blessing. Be all the blessing you can be, and God will get all the glory. And you'll get the joy. When you put Jesus others, and then you. J-O-Y. That's where the joy comes. Give yourself away. There is nothing else like it. It's tiring, it's painful, and it's delightful to serve the King of Kings. Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling me into service. Thank you for giving each one of us a gift and a place. Thank you for giving us relationships to serve you in. Thank you for giving us resources to serve you with. Would you make us generous? Would you open up our hearts to be the thankful people that we ought to be and to choose to intentionally pour ourselves out for you? Oh God, you're great. You are so great. I just want to give you glory. But I would ask today, would you change us from being selfish Americans to be generous Christians? Change our identity today to see ourselves for who we are, blessed, blessed people. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.